Hi, I'm Ray. Welcome to another podcast episode. This time, parties in the 1960s. Now, I don't mean parties at pubs or venues, but at people's houses. Most weekends, in fact, there was a party going on somewhere at someone's house. Now, as with parties or get-togethers today, everyone took booze along. You take your own drinks along. And one of the most popular things was that disgusting Watney's Red Barrel. They did a Party 7. Okay, it's a big tin. Imagine a tin of beer, a can of beer, but it was 7 pints. So it's a huge tin, like a industrial-sized tin of baked beans. Watney's Party 7. There were other big tins as well that people would take along. You've got to be careful when you open it. If it's been shaken around a bit, then you've got beer and that all over whoever's kitchen. Now, everyone gathered in the kitchen initially at these parties because that's where all the booze was. So you'd all gather in the kitchen, you'd open your Party 7, you'd pour out drinks. Some people, of course, would have taken wine or spirits. If they're taking spirits, then they keep the bottle, you know, perhaps a small bottle, in their pocket. You're not going to put that in the kitchen because it would disappear. And, of course, that's expensive. So, yeah, there was things like Martini, Bacardi, Baby Sham, Cherry B, and basically Watney's Red Barrel. But it was all great fun. As you approach the house, before you got to the kitchen even, as you approach the house, you could probably hear the music. And one thing that I never forget, and this happened on more than one occasion, as I'm approaching the house, toilet roll like a streamer comes flying out of a top window, you know, into the road or into the front garden or wherever. Now, don't get me wrong, nowhere was ever smashed up. You know, no one's house was ever damaged or anything like that. I mean, OK, you lose a toilet roll or two. They're chucked out of the top window like a streamer. But that was about it. There was no damage done. Oh, there was one I went to when there was this girl on the phone for rather a long time. She'd sat down in the lounge next to the telephone, and it transpired that she was talking to a friend of hers in America, running up this huge phone bill. We were all friends. It was all a group of us. We knew who she was. We knew where she lived. And when my friend's parents, as it wasn't his house, it was his parents, when they got the phone bill in, he just told her how much it was to make the call to America, and she had to pay. I forget what it was, but it was hugely expensive. Of course, in those days, there was only the landline phone. You couldn't Skype or FaceTime or anything like that. It was the landline telephone at goodness knows how much a minute. So nothing was ever smashed up. Sometimes, accidentally, you'd get a cigarette burned somewhere or drink spilled on the carpet. But what I found parents did, if they had a nice coffee table or whatever nice bit of furniture, they'd take that out of the room, put it somewhere else, put it in the garage or in the shed, or cover everything with cloths, you know, perhaps mats and things like that. So, yes, there were never any trouble, no fights, nothing like that. But the parties, having said that, the parties were wild. I remember one house I went to, this friend of mine, it was his house, and he said, oh, come round, I'm having a sort of housewarming party. They weren't housewarming parties in those days. It was just a party. He moved in, he got the house all sorted out, and he was living there, and he thought he'd have a Saturday night party. So we're all, he said, have a look round the house. It was on the ground floor, then the first and second floor. So it was like a townhouse. It was quite narrow in the town, in this road in the town, but it had these two floors above the ground. So there's people milling around everywhere upstairs. About halfway through the evening, I hadn't had a look upstairs. I'd been talking to some girl or other, and I thought I'll go and have a look round. Went up to the first floor. There was his bedroom. Had a look round. There's a bathroom. Bits and pieces going on. People here and there snogging and whatever they're doing. Funny sort of smell in the air. Funny smog. Rather a nice smell, actually. Brings back memories. Anyway, moving on swiftly. I went up to the top floor, and I went into this room, and there was this girl in there. I don't know, teens, late teens, early 20s. You know, I could only describe it as a sort of a, in disarray, partially clothed. Possibly the best way would be to say in a state of undress or partial undress. Good grief. And I said, oh, sorry, disturbing you. I was about to go out. She said, that's okay. I'm on my own. So I looked in the room. There was a little table lamp on in there, and she was on her own. So I thought, well, that's right. What's odd? What's she doing? What's she undressing in here for? Perhaps she's meeting her boyfriend. Perhaps he said, look, you go up first, I'll follow in a minute. So I said, no, it's fine, I'll leave you to it, to whoever it is you're meeting. I'm not meeting anyone, she said. This made me laugh. She said, I thought I'd stay up here and see who wanted to join me. Good grief, I thought. Good grief in my innocence, in my youth. What is she talking about? Oh, goodness me, a stranger? No, none of us were strangers. Having said that, there were sort of friends, you know, that we didn't all know everyone. There was so-and-so. She was a friend of hers and he was a friend of his. It was all pretty good. No real strangers there, so there wasn't going to be any trouble. So this girl, I knew who she was. I knew she was a friend of a friend. And I went in, I closed the door, went in and joined her. She was a very attractive young lady with long dark hair and big black eyes, pouting lips, and well, she was dressed basically in just her underwear. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So when I first arrived at the party downstairs in the kitchen, you know, you all have a chat with your mates, pour out the drinks, have a bit of a laugh, eye up the girls, then sort of move into the lounge. The girls always seem to gather in the lounge and the lads in the kitchen. That, I don't think that's ever changed. I don't go to parties these days, obviously, where there are youngsters. But from what I've heard, nothing's changed. In fact, there was a record, wasn't there? Is always in the kitchen at parties or something. So nothing's ever changed. The lads used to gather around the booze and the girls would gather around their handbags in the lounge and have a chat, a natter, girl talk. So eventually a few of us would sort of come out of the kitchen and go and join the girls in the lounge. The music was always pretty good. There's a mixture of 60s stuff, Hendrix, you know, some heavier stuff. As the evening went on, it got heavier and heavier, the music. You know, it wasn't sort of Clodagh Rodgers or things like that. It was pretty good stuff, you know, Pink Floyd, Deep Purple, really good stuff. There was a lot of it around then. And then you start sort of smooching with a girl or whatever. Smooching, there's a word. Do they still use that? Do people still smooch? I don't know. I certainly don't. Anyway, distant memories. So it was really good fun. You know, never had the police round or anything. It was really good fun. I remember at one party, at a friend's house, they had a dining room next to the kitchen. And there was like a serving hatch in the wall. So from the kitchen, you could pass things through to the dining room. And they'd set up this bar, this girl, it was her party. She set up this bar in the dining room and she stood behind it. She was the barmaid and she was sort of taking drinks from the serving hatch. She could reach through, grab whatever you wanted, and had this sort of table set up with glasses. And she was dressed as a French maid. I don't quite know why, with this extremely short skirt and this skimpy little top, you know, the little white little hat thing they wore, whatever it was, and you know, black stockings and high heels. And she was amazing. I had my eye on her. It was actually her party, so I don't know why she was stuck there for most of the evening, actually, as it turned out. I've been chatting to her for some time and getting nowhere, I hasten to add, just drinking pint after pint of what is red. Grotny's Red, they used to call it. Grotny's Red, because it was grotty. And this other girl, she said, have you got a cigarette? You know, everyone smoked then. I thought, yeah, I know, this is a typical girl thing. They've got their own cigarettes, but they smoke other people's for nothing, especially the lads' cigarettes. So I said, yeah. She said, oh, you know, come out in the garden, have a smoke with me. So I followed her out into the garden. I was getting nowhere with the French maid girl, so I went down the garden. It was summer evening, lovely. Nice garden, really big garden. So we wandered down there. They had some outside lights on. She grabbed me, starts kissing me. I hadn't even, you know, got the cigarette going. She starts kissing me in the garden. I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. I was after the girl in the, you know, behind the makeshift bar. But this is what it was like. This is what it was like. They were kind of, you've probably heard of, you know, free love, make love, not war. These parties, a lot of them were sort of love-ins or whatever they called them. And of course, I was so innocent. You know, I was only, what, 18. I mean, I was so innocent. I didn't know what to do. So I went to the bushes with her. And after a while, I went back to the French maid one. And she said, what were you doing out there with her? I said, oh, just having a cigarette. She said, no, you weren't. And I thought, hang on a minute, are we going out with each other? And I said, oh, we're just having a chat and a cigarette. It's a nice garden. And she said, I thought you were after me. I mean, that's typical, isn't it? That's typical. I've been chatting her up, right, for quite a long time and getting nowhere. So I wander off with someone else and she got moody. Happy days. Oh, dear. Teenage years. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not a teenager anymore. There was one party I went to. I was in my early 20s. And as soon as I got there, this girl latched on to me and she was chatting to me and she said, oh, don't drink too much. You can give me a lift home. Have you got your car? Yeah, I've got my car. Don't drink too much. You can give me a lift home. During the evening, she was sort of with me, but she spent more time with her friends, this group of friends she had. So I didn't sort of bother to look at any other girls. I sort of hung around her, chatted to a few mates, and came to the end of the evening and she said, right, you can give me a lift home now. So we went out to the car and it was miles away. It was up the A24, a little village up there. It was about, I don't know, not that far, I suppose, but it was about 15 miles. So we're just going down this small road and she said, oh, stop here, don't go outside the house, stop here, just park a few doors away. So I stopped at the row of houses and I said, oh, what's that? You don't want to park outside, your parents looking out or something? She said, no. She said, my husband will be looking out of the window. And I thought, what? What's this? She was early 20s, sort of the same age as me. And I'm thinking, I've been conned. She just wanted a lift home. I've been conned. So I thought I'd call her bluff. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pick you up tomorrow. I'll stop about here, about 7 o'clock. And she said, oh, okay, yeah, okay. Which I didn't think she would. I thought she was going to start saying, oh, no. Anyway, I went back the following evening, picked her up, because don't forget this was summertime, so it was daylight. And I picked her up and we went to a pub and we had a few drinks. And it was rather a nice evening, as it turned out. But it was strange how things could turn out at these parties. You know, I'd go there with a group of mates and something totally weird would happen, like taking this married girl home, seeing her the following evening, well, and several other evenings, as a matter of fact, quite a few other evenings for quite a long time. But it was strange. I used to think how it was always ifs and buts. You know, if I hadn't gone to that particular party that night, I wouldn't have met so-and-so, and if this and but that. Strange how things work out. I suppose even now you can look back in life, can't you, to your teenage years. You know, had I not gone to that party, I wouldn't have met so-and-so, whose sister I actually ended up married to and having four kids with. Well, that wasn't true in my case, but you see what I'm saying. All these things stemmed from these peculiar parties. I will just add here that the married girl, she was actually going through divorce. They were living in separate rooms in the house, and shame, you know, such a young age, early 20s, to get divorced. But it hadn't worked out and it was all amicable, but that was that. I said at the outset that some of the parties were wild. Do you remember that record? Was it Three Dog Night? Mama told me not to come. What were the words from that? I'm looking at my girlfriend. She's passed out on the floor. What was it? I see so many things I've never seen before. I don't know what it is or something, but I don't want to see any more. Oh dear, that cigarette you're smoking, what was it, scare me to death? Open the window, let me catch my breath. Some of the parties were fantastic. Some of them, I must admit, I don't really remember a great deal about. I'd wake up, obviously gone to sleep, I'd wake up in an armchair or on a bed somewhere, and it's daylight, you know, it's sort of 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Not quite sure what had gone on the night before or who it was that was lying next to me. But with all the drink and the funny cigarettes aside, they were terrific social gathering. Well, you probably don't think that now. I've probably given you completely the wrong picture. Or is that the right picture? No, they were brilliant social gatherings. You know, a whole bunch of friends. We never had gate crashes. They were always well behaved. And as I said, your toilet rolls out of the window, things like that. Or someone put a packet of washing powder, Daz, I think it was, in the toilet cistern. So when you flush the toilet, in the pan itself, it's all bubbles coming up, bubbles going all over the side. You know, no lasting damage, nothing was damaged. I accept our minds, I think. I used to get my mind damaged sometimes. I used to get home the next day from a party and I think, goodness me, what was all that about? Another record comes to mind. What was it? Was it Pulp? I left part of my brain in a field in Hampshire. Sometimes I felt like that, trying to think back to the evening. What happened? I remember getting there vaguely. Then I met so-and-so. Then I had a drink. And then I don't know what happened after that. They do say about the 60s, if you can remember the 60s, then you weren't there or something. Never did quite understand that. I remember the 60s and I was definitely there and I enjoyed every single second of everything I did. I soon discovered that it wasn't worth taking records to any parties because they would mysteriously disappear. I remember taking a Jimi Hendrix album. It was Machine Gun, Band of Gypsies. Was it Hendrix? Machine Gun, Band of Gypsies. I just bought it that very day and I took it round to the party and someone played it. They put the record on. At the end of the evening, it had gone. It had disappeared. Someone had obviously borrowed it. I say we were all friends. I mean, there were friends of friends and someone may have taken it by mistake. Like perhaps sometimes, you know, you take someone else's girlfriend by mistake. It wasn't intentional. It just sort of happened. Oh, I seem to be taking you home, or I seem to be meeting you tomorrow somewhere. The most, I suppose the word is peculiar, odd, frightening, worrying thing that ever happened to me. I'm not sure how to describe it. Went to a friend's party. He was about 16, 17. His parents had split up. He just lived with his mother. I think he said his dad had run off with some woman to Spain. They'd opened a bar in Spain or something. So he lived with his mum and he had this party. And it was really good, a good bunch of people there. We had some good music, subdued lighting, you know, some heavy rock type music. It was becoming quite a wild party. And there was this young woman there. I was 20 something, early 20s. And there was this young woman there. I knew she was older than me. I probably thought mid 20s, something like that. And she was coming on strong to me. So we went into the dining room where it was a bit quieter. There were some other people in there, but we sat on the sofa. And we're chatting about this, that and the other, and she told me about her work. One thing led to another, and we start canoodling. There's another word, canoodle. Do people still canoodle? Anyway, we were canoodling, and my friend came in, and he just said, he looked over, and he said, "Mum, have we got any more of those beers?" There was this deathly silence for a minute, and I'm thinking, "Mum?" I looked at her, he was talking to her. I couldn't believe it. I was canoodling with his mother. Now, I think he was 16, as I said, so 16, if she'd had him at 16, she could be 32, 33. I suppose that's the sort of age she was. She looked a lot younger, and I just didn't know what to do. And she told him where the beers were, out in the garden, keeping cool or something. And then she looked at me and she said, "Well, where were we?" And I said, "Hang on, you're one of my best mate's mothers." I'd never been, I say best mate, I'd never actually been to his house before because of all this parent splitting up business. He didn't have anyone there, but the father had gone to Spain with the floozy. And now it seems his floozy mother was after her son's friends, or one of them at least, namely me. Bear in mind that a lot of these parties I'm talking about were over a number of years. So it wasn't every weekend that I was at a party canoodling with a friend's mother, or being dragged into the bushes by a girl, or going out with married women. This was over quite a number of, well, what, 18 to sort of mid-20s, I suppose. So, yeah, quite a good number of years. A friend of mine who lived with his parents, they had a big house and there was a huge basement. What it was, the cupboard under the stairs, you open that door, instead of a cupboard, it was actually stairs, more stairs down to the basement. And he had this party down there. He'd set it all up as a ghost theme. I think it was Halloween, if I remember rightly. A sort of ghost theme. There were skeletons, plastic skeletons hanging around. And the music was rather loud. His parents stayed upstairs. But his dad did come down at one point. I was at the bottom of the stairs. And his dad came down and he said to me, "This music's a bit loud. Can you get it turned down?" I said, "Yeah, I'll speak to Dave." That was his party. And his dad just looked down and there's his pair of knickers on the floor. Oh dear. And he looked at them, he looked at me and he said, "I think I'll go back upstairs." He just disappeared. He probably didn't know what to think or what to say or do. I don't know whose knickers they, well, actually I do know whose knickers they were, but we won't go into that. That's another story. Talking of knickers has just reminded me of something. A friend of mine, one of these parties, he came along and he pulled out of his jacket pocket a couple of pairs of knickers. I said, "What you bought knickers to the party for? You're supposed to be going home with someone's knickers in your pocket, not bringing knickers to the party." And what it was, there was this chap there who was, you know, he was one of us lot. He was one of our mates. But he was a funny chap. He didn't like these sort of various goings on and things with girls and that. He had a long-standing sort of girlfriend. They'd been engaged for something like 4 or 5 years. And he was very prim and proper. We often used to wonder why he actually turned up at these parties. So what this friend of mine did, he stuffed these knickers into this chap's jacket pocket. And at some point later in the evening, he'd pulled them out. He'd reached into his pocket for something and he pulled these knickers out, of course, in front of his girlfriend. She's looking at them. Where'd you get those? Of course, this row started. It was all okay in the end. It was explained to her, I think, the next day it was, that her mind was put at rest. But he was saying, I don't know anything about this. She was saying, who's been with my boyfriend? Who is it? So we all started shouting around, okay, who hasn't got any knickers on? Come on, own up. Who hasn't got any knickers on? So the girls are all lifting their mini skirts. They're all lifting their mini skirts saying, I have, look, I have. This is one girl. She knew what was going on, so she thought she'd take the game a bit further. She lifted her skirt and said, oh, I haven't got any knickers on. Of course, we're all looking like, oh, wow. That was hilarious. It all ended well, though, as I said. We put the girl right, or someone did, the next day. What was that other record? Summer of 69, was it? Those were the best days of my life. I remember as the years went by, you know, we'd meet in the pub or wherever, and we'd think back about the parties, and we'd say, well, there aren't any parties anymore. It wasn't that people had grown up. They got married. Some of them had children. The party era had gone. I suppose you can't party all your life. Well, mind you, why not? Yeah, perhaps we can party. Perhaps I should have a rave every Saturday night. Don't know what the neighbours would say. Well, they'd probably join in, actually. They'd probably come round, bring their party sevens and whatever, pair of knickers in the pocket. No, we can't do that. Good grief. We're all old pensioners now. Old age pensioners. How about that? There are loads more things I could tell you about parties, but as usual, I don't want to send you all to sleep. I don't want to bore you for too long. So I hope you've enjoyed my recollections. There were some dreadful, dreadful things that went on. Well, not dreadful. I suppose hugely exciting things that went on that probably aren't suitable for a podcast episode. Perhaps I should do a private podcast episode one of these days. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this. Thanks for listening. And I hope also to see you next time. Bye-bye for now.